This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
By the grace of God, I'm sharing with us something quite special. And what I'm about to share with us is based on the Word of God and the principles of God. Earlier today in the morning, I was in Lagos to minister to the saints in an assembly. And the Lord opened my eyes to see certain things that I believe they might not have seen if not for the fact that you are in His presence. But the Lord is great, and His faithfulness is forever, forever and ever. And He deals with us faithfully according to His own power. And according to His grace in every situation. When I got to that assembly, I shared with them certain codes of the Spirit. And this evening, I'm going to share some of those same codes with us so that we can understand spiritual things and walk in the knowledge therein. A lot of times as believers, we pray for the anointing. We want the presence of God to overwhelm our natural circumstances and give us supernatural results instead of natural results. However, in the natural, God has deliberately created an ecosystem that works. That if we would understand the ecosystem and work with the ecosystem, many of the things that we pray for, we will see that we have power to make them real or to bring them to pass in our realities, in our worlds. So when we see some people who don't know God, maybe they call themselves atheists, or they know a bit of science, we will see their approach to certain things is different from our own approach. They will sit down, think, try to figure out a solution to a problem. While we will pray and trust that the solution to that problem will come from above. So we put an atheist on the right, on the left side, we put a Christian on the right side. Both of them are farmers. And both of them, let's say, they are domiciled in Nigeria. The Christian farmer knows that the rain falls twice. There are two rainy seasons in a year. If he's in the southwest, if he's in the north, he knows there is only one rainy season. But the Christian farmer then begins to calculate how to take advantage of the rainy season or the two rainy seasons to plant. So I remember when I was young, my grandfather would have set out for the farm the second week of February every year to cultivate the land. Second week of February. Takes 2 weeks to clear the entire farmland in preparation for maize. By March, you would then be waiting for rain. And the rain must be 3 rains. You had to count it. I grew up basically as his boy, so I knew it taught me. The third rain, after the third rain, was when he would then go to the farm to cultivate the land and plant maize. So we will count the rains. And that would be the for the first rainy season, which will be from March, April, May, June, July. And then the rainy season will stop. In August, there'll be a break. So, because rain, the maize will last 3 months. So, it starts by March, April, May, June, we'll begin to harvest maize. By that time, also, we'll have planted cassava. Then, after that first harvest, we will clear the land again. And then begin to expect the second rainy season by September. You see, that is how somebody who is waiting for rain calculates and how he plants. He has to work with nature in order to make sure the seeds he's planting does not get spoiled in the ground. If he lives in the north, for example, his calculation will be we will targeting the August rain. So he will start preparing the ground from July. And then they will plant late July, expecting the rain to come August. By September, October, they will begin to harvest maize. And that is the logic of somebody that is looking at nature in order to plant. Well, the atheist who understands a bit of science will go and get thanks. Many of them will get thanks. They will find a way to harvest the rain water. So when the rain begins to fall, he would store the rain water. Once he stores the rain water, it doesn't need God again. We then do something we call irrigation with the water. Either it creates a dam or it creates a way to store the water. We would then create something called irrigation. And it would use the same water, the same rainwater, to water the ground. And depending on how large and how much the volume of the water was able to gather, it would then process it with some fertilizer. And it will get bountiful harvest. And the atheist will tell you, I don't need God. I understand how nature works, and I take advantage of nature. And if you put the results of somebody who knows God by the side of somebody who does not know God but have an understanding of irrigation and science, you will then begin to realize that God is fair. Why? That God made someone able to think of a solution outside of prayer in order to solve the problem of the availability of water. And at the same time, somebody is here praying and fasting for the same solution, but unable to think of how to make one answered prayer lasting for a whole year. Let me put it another way. Two people are praying. Father, please bless me. Father, bless me. Father, bless me. One of them was Esau, and the father did not bless him. Father told him that all the blessing he has been taken by Jacob, and that there was no blessing left for him. And that was Esau. The other person was Jacob. He was blessed. He received the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven. He received corn and water and wine from the mouth of Isaac. Isaac told him that today I give you corn and wine. I give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. The heavens will respond to you when you need rain. The earth will respond to you when you plant. You will reap multiple harvests. And so the Bible said, Jacob took the blessing from Esau. So we all know that it was Jacob that received the blessing that comes to divinity. And it was Esau that did not receive any blessing. But when Esau went to his father and pestered his father, he said, please, even if it is small blessing left, even if it is small, no matter what, even bottom pots, any kind of blessing, can you please give it to me? Any kind of blessing. Bible said his father turned to him and the father said, Esau, I have nothing to give you. You are going to serve your brother. You will be your brother's servant. But I have this promise for you. When you are tired of his yoke, you will break it off your neck. When you are tired of his yoke, when you are tired of serving him, when you come into your senses, you say, I have served you enough, I'm not serving you again. But until then, Jacob would be the superior one, and Esau will be the subservient one. That was the declaration of Isaac over this destiny. What Esau, when Esau heard that promise or that prophecy, Esau decided in his mind that the only way, that what his father meant was that he should kill Jacob. That was how Esau heard it. Esau said, my father said, when I am tired, I should kill him. When I'm tired, I should kill him. He said, when you are tired, you will break his yoke off your neck. Okay, when you are tired, you will break his yoke off your neck. So what my father said, my father said that I should kill him. That if I kill him, I'll be blessed. So Esau began to plan how to kill Jacob. That's according to scripture. Because that was how he heard that statement. He heard it that unless Jacob dies, you will not be blessed. Unless Jacob dies, break the yoke. Break the yoke. It's your brother. Break the yoke off your neck. Break the yoke off your neck. If you don't want to serve him, break the yoke off your neck. Or just break the yoke off your neck. My father said I should break the yoke off my neck. Break the yoke. Break him. Break him. Kill him. Kill him. So the brother heard, kill him. That was not what the father said, but that was what he heard. Because he was in a situation where he needed a serious intervention. And there was no other way to get the blessing. So he heard, kill your brother. He heard, kill your brother. So he decided he will kill his brother. While he was planning how to kill his brother, the plan got to Esau, got to Isaac and Rebekah. So they said, "Ah, this boy has misinterpreted our counsel." And they called Jacob in the middle of the night and they told Jacob, "You have to leave the house now. What you did to your brother, the blessings you stole, your brother has taken it badly. And your brother is out to take vengeance on you. And it is likely that your brother will kill you. We don't want to lose you. So we have decided that you should leave the house today when Esau is asleep. So when Esau wakes up in the morning, Esau will see that you are God. And Esau will have no power over you anymore. And we will not tell you where you went." That was why Jacob left their father and mother's house early in the morning, before everybody woke up. He set out for Laban's house. That's according to scripture. So, kataparata. But the word of God is faithful, and the word of God is true. So what then happened was, Jacob left, and Esau had no one to kill. But Esau began to think in his heart, "How do I then come out from under my brother's yoke? How do I set myself free from this problem? Because my brother has stolen the blessing, and according to the blessing, my brother is going to be the one that will then feed me." That's the blessing, though. The blessing said that Jacob will lead and that his brother will serve him. And I don't want to serve my brother. And the statement was final. His father told him, "There's nothing I could do about it. This is the end of the statement. This is the end of the road for that matter." So Isaac, Esau and I began to look for a solution to come out from under his brother without killing his brother. And the brother ran far away to a foreign land, trusting God that the prophecy he received will come to pass. However, Esau also decided to leave the house. Bible said Esau carried his wife, his three wives, and his children, and left in another direction. He went west. Jacob went east. And when he went west, he met some other people like himself, tribal leaders who are gathered together in different locations, who are in need of leadership. These people were gathered in different locations, but they had no leader. They were not united. But Esau joined them. Esau mixed with them. Esau became their leader. Esau then built Edom. Jacob, on the other hand, went to Laban's house, spent the first 7 years working in order to marry Rachel, only to be given Leah. Then he spent the second 7 years serving to marry Rachel, making 14 years. Then he spent another 7 years trying to make enough money to feed his family. So at the end of the day, Jacob spent 21 years using the grace and the anointing he received from God to serve another man. Not himself, another man. You are here, you are listening to me, pay attention. You have the mindset of getting paid employment. Working for a company and receiving salary. That is the mindset you have. And you have been working hard, but there's no big reward for your work. You worked hard, you are getting paid, but they could sack you at any time. You have no control over your own destiny. You have no power over your own future. You find yourself at the mercy of somebody's whims and caprice. Somebody can just wake up and say, "We are downsizing," or, "We don't need that road again," or, "We just want to go in another direction." And the job you held, the position you worked hard to hold, and all the advantages you brought to the company will become nothing. Because you're like Jacob. You see, a lot of Christians like to prosper in another man's business. There's nothing bad in it. But other people's businesses are meant to be training grounds for us, not a place where we spend all our strength so that when we are 60-year-old or 65-year-old, we retire, and then we will have spent all our life working for a brand, not ourselves. So I spent 17 years or 16 years or 25 years in business, quizzes, with any of the people say so. I say, that's why I spent years and years and years. And by the time they leave the company, they will have very little to show. Very little. The official card they had on in the office will be taken back. Sometimes, maybe they will give it a plot of land through the cooperative. Sometimes, they will get some money for their retirement. But nothing that is given to anybody merits or is equal to the number of years they've ever served a company. When I see people who tell me stories of how they worked and what they earned, I know somebody who was given a deep freezer for 42 years of service, a deep freezer and some money. I know some people who got 10 million. I know somebody who got 800,000 for 21 years of work. People who belong to that Jacob journey, where they end up serving somebody else for several years. And then when they are old and their strength is ebbing, and they can no longer fight for their own right or their destiny, they get put aside or discarded. And they begin to complain. "Ah, I labored for this company. I gave 40 years of my life." You know, the way a man and a woman who are married would talk when there's a problem or issue of divorce, and they would talk as if, "Ah, and now they put me away, they kick me out." Don't allow that happen to you. If you're here, you're listening to me, don't allow it happen to you. The Bible says that if you are faithful in another man's business, you will be giving your own. Always remember that at the end of the whole matter is that you are being trained to reign, training for reigning, training for reigning. Some of us, we take the training so seriously, we forget to reign. We take the training so hard, we would go anywhere for the company we are working for, we would travel to the ends of the earth, we would do so many things for the company, we would train hard, But we forget that there is a learning aspect, that you become an asset so that you can be a blessing to yourself. That you grow a network so that you can be a blessing to yourself. That you gain experience so that you can be a blessing to yourself. Many of us don't think that's everything, and I do not know why we don't. Because at the end of the day, if you become linear in your thinking and you don't become exponential in your thinking, you will face that linear path. You will excel in it. But the linear path is a limited blessing source. That is, if you work for me, for example, for 30 years, let's say you build the structure for any of my companies. You build the structure, you employed all the labor, you put in everything for me. At the end of the day, I will not give you that company as your inheritance. I will give you some money, and I will give you a good thank you, and I will hug you. I will even cry, and I will tell you how much I love you. I will be a public citation, and I will tell the whole world, oh, see who built the structure or so and so company under me. But you will retire and you will go. And it will become a role for somebody else to fill. We all see companies all over the world. I know people who work for big conglomerates. They would put in all their effort. They will labor. They will make billions for these companies. And at the end of the day, they will leave with whatever has been pre-designed or pre-purposed for them to retire with. Oftentimes, after they retire, they now begin to look for a business to do. They will start, oh, I want to sell cement. I want to go into cold room business. They said there is banana business. I want to start the banana plantation. I want to be doing cassava business. I want to be selling cassava. Okay. They said I can buy a motorcycle and be renting it out to make money. I want to buy three buses. I'll be using it for transportation business. I want to do interstate transport business. I will buy a bus in Abuja, and the bus will be traveling from Abuja to Lagos. And I'll be that way. Okay, I will start a supermarket, and I will be doing supermarket business. And by the time they begin to think of these businesses, they're already 65. Yeah, close to 70. They are at the age where they are supposed to be on the boat cruise. Boat cruise. To see the world. I'm talking about my own plan for myself. When you get to a certain age, labor should cease. You should tell yourself, I have given my all for humanity. Now I will just serve God and I will travel the world and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world. I will take care of my grandchildren, make them trust fund babies. I will go to countries I've never been before and just enjoy the sights and sounds of this country. That is what those who understood the times and seasons and made use of them the right way. That's what they do in their old age. I was listening to a man a few days ago who said that there are people that are in Nigeria that are richer than me. He said, I was watching him. He said, you know what they do? When there is stress, they travel to Monaco. He said they travel to Monaco and they just go and stay in Monaco and just enjoy themselves. They don't want any stress. Is it there are Nigerians like me? They are not putting their money into businesses. They're just enjoying their life. Well, when you have worked hard in your 40s, in your 30s, in your 50s, by the time you are 55, your plan for your future should be set. Otherwise, you will labor for too long and spend too little time enjoying the fruits of your own labor. That was where Jacob found himself. 22 years of hard labor and had nothing to show for it, not one thing. The Bible said after 22 years, he had a boy called Joseph. Then he gave the boy the name Addition. He said, "For God has added unto." And after he said that, something strange happened to him. In the afternoon, he was sleeping and he saw a vision. He saw that certain kinds of animals that they had were mating. And as they mated in front of a particular striped branch of a tree, they produced spotted and speckled offsprings. He realized this was the anointing. He realized that, oh my God, there is a secret to how I could produce the kind of offspring that will set me up for life, that I can call my whole inheritance. So he cut a branch of a tree, stripped it of its bark, laid it at the watering trough, and then he placed animals that are old enough to mate right in front of it so that they mated in front of it. And then he trusted God for a miracle. The miracle happened. All the animals produced spotted and speckled offsprings. And for the first time, he had a lot of animals that he could call his own personal property because of a deal he had with labor that all the spotted and speckled animals will be his. And when he saw that labor gave him 100 and he had 1,000 plus spotted and speckled, and very few that are not spotted and speckled, he knew labor would most likely beat him. Again, and labor would say, "No, that's all they agreed. How can you, are you, how can you say you want to take all this and you want to give it so little? Because we agreed, no, I don't agree again." Inside, he was going to run away with the little that he had raised as profit. So Jacob ran. According to the Bible, he ran away in the middle of the night with his wife, all his children, his slaves, and all the animals that are spotted and speckled so that he could retire. So that he could retire with grace. The anointing has brought him increase, but he had no power to retain the increase. The anointing has brought him increase, but he had no power to retain the increase. The increase could be taken away from him by Laban because Laban was the owner of all the animals and Laban was the man with the authority over the business. Even though they had a deal that Laban was going to give him spotted and speckled, he knew that Laban had the power to again cheat him. This is where we see the anointing being bullied by somebody who has process. I told you at the beginning of the teaching that some people pray And some people acquire the necessary means and knowledge to triumph without praying. Laban triumphed without praying. Jacob was praying and he was the underdog. Prayer does not always make you the champion. When you have prayer and you have process, when you understand that in the world of men, there is something we called empowering yourself, learning skill, mastering the terrain. When you come to the understanding that I can become the master of my own destiny in this terrain. When you come to that place where you say, okay, how can I defend myself? I need to have weapons of war. I need to have mighty men. You will see that if you calculate it well and you build the way you are supposed to build, if you do what you are supposed to do and you do it right, you will notice that people who usually you will pray and you say, God, please don't let him come and trouble me. Take his eyes away from me. You will no longer be afraid of them. People who want to challenge you will think twice. They will say, hey. Yeah, let me give you a cool example. And this example will make you laugh, but I should give it to you so you understand what I'm saying in a very simple manner. About 4 or 5 years ago, the Lord will tell me to go to certain states in Nigeria to have a crusade. Sometimes we'll go to Port Harcourt, sometimes we'll go to Delta. I remember Delta was the first place the Lord said I should go to. I went to Delta, then after that, Port Harcourt. Then I began to tour the southwestern and the southeastern and the southern part of Nigeria. In all these places, in the north, I went to only Sokoto, I went to Abuja, but I focused only on the southwest and the southeast. And whenever we travel by road with my team, and we'll go with buses or crusades. And police officers will harass us. Ah! Especially on that on a road. They will tell us to park. They will begin to extort me. I should bring money. I will talk to them. I will tell them I'm going for a crusade. They will say, what is the name of your ministry? I will tell them. They will ask for my ID card. I will give them. Driver's license, I will give them. All the documents they want, I will give them. They will say, no, I cannot go unless I give them money. I said, I'm a man of God. I cannot be giving you money. They say, no. You don't give us money. You don't go anywhere. Ah. So people on this call will remember. Sometimes a journey that ought to take 7 hours will take us 13 hours. 13 hours. We will be on the road from early in the morning till late in the night. That was the day we were going to Port Harcourt. We left Lagos as early as 5. We got to Port Harcourt at 11 p.m. Not because we had a fault with our car, but because the convoy kept getting stopped. The convoy kept getting stopped by police. Everywhere we go to, they will demand for money. If they don't want to give them money, they will say they will search us. They will pack our buses. They will bring out all the bags. They will say they have to search. They don't have to search, but they want to delay us because they want money and we don't want to give them money. So they will bring out all our luggage. They will scatter everything. Then they will put it back. Then we will start again. Then we'll get to another. Then, as police will stop us, customs will stop us, immigration will stop us, police will stop us again, every checkpoint. We went on a journey and came back home. I said, Lord, Lord, I am anointed. Ah, I'm going to do your work. Why am I being stressed like this? Why are you police officers? Why can't you give me the rod of Moses? And I just said, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, we went on a journey. We came back. the stress was so much. And we were going to do the gospel. We were going to do the work of Jesus. And these people, they were just unmerciful and unkind. It got to the point I began to collect money from bank. I will load the car with money. I'm telling God's truth. So that when we get to each checkpoint, I'll just give them money. Just give them money so I can go. See, hey, I said, okay, how much do you want? Hey, brother, give us money for lunch. Give them a bill of 2,000, sometimes 5,000, sometimes 10,000, sometimes 20,000. I'll just give them. Because every time the headache was too much. So one day I told the Lord, I said, this is not right. I'm not a criminal. I'm going to do crusade, going to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to do miracles, to do things in your name. See how these police officers are treating me. They have no reverence for me. They have no respect. And the Lord said to me, because you are not paying attention to how things ought to be done. I said, hey. He said, yes. I said, so how are things to be done? How are things to be done? Then I saw on the news, I'm not kidding, on the news, on TV, somebody was watching the news in a hotel. I went to the hotel to have a meeting, and I saw on the news a minister of the gospel who had a siren. He locks with siren, who had police escorts. Ha! I said, oh, this is my solution. I'm not kidding. And the next day, I ordered some pillows, I ordered police escorts, and then we went for a crusade in Port Harcourt, and nobody stopped us. I said, wow. Wow. No. Everywhere we go to, once they saw police in the car, and they saw us, I mean, and they saw pew, 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 pew. They just left the road. And I said, wow. So the solution to this problem was not to pray and fast. It was to take advantage of grace. To use the anointing to institute authority in a carnal manner. That was the solution to the problem. From that point on, because every time I give them money, I feel guilty. I feel bad. I say, I'm contributing to the to corruption in this country. Why am I giving them money? But from that point, there was no money again. Once I go in the convoy and they see the siren in front and they see the light, pam, 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 and then they see the cars. And they see the buses. I know just like the convoy, they will just leave the checkpoint. They will just let us pass. It wasn't a cheap solution, but it was the better solution. It was then I realized that somebody can be praying and somebody can invest in the process. And the person who invested in the process can have better results because he puts in the wisdom. Esau invested in the process. Jacob was praying. At the end of the day, Esau was richer than Jacob by far. When Jacob got to Edom, Jacob realized, my God, the one that didn't receive the blessing has become so rich. Not because Esau was praying, but because Esau was paying attention to the process. A lot of us pray, but we don't pay attention to the process. We don't pay attention to the process of prosperity. We will have a business plan. We will pray, God, bring money. God will bring money. Instead of us to take the money and invest it in such a way that we don't need to pray again. Did you hear what I said? I said, you should invest the blessing that came from prayer in such a manner that you will never need to pray again for that business. You would just be praying in tongues and blessing God. But the business would, you would have secured, many of us, we don't know that. We will receive, somebody will come and say, I want to invest 10 million in your business. We'll get 10 million and we'll blow it. And then we'll start praying all over again for another investor. Then we'll blow that one. And then we'll start praying for another investor. And then we'll blow that one. Meanwhile, somebody else, they will receive. Was it one of the best that said he received £250,000 from his father? And that was it. He didn't need to pray again. He didn't need to fast again. He invested the money and it continued to make him rich. Even though at the point he lost all the money, he was able to gain it back based on antecedents. He had experience in the field and he continued to thrive in it. He didn't need to go to church. He didn't need to get extra loan. You see what I'm saying? What did I tell you at the beginning of the teaching? I said, two people are farmers. I said, one will pray that rain should fall. The other will go and buy tanks or build a dam. Where rain falls, one will be praying that there should be no flood, there should just be normal rain for him to plant. The other would not care, he wants a flood. He would then save the rainwater and he does not need to pray again. One rain and he would have harvest throughout the year on his farm. Another person will be praying every time for rain. And the year the rain fails to fall, all his plants will die. And he will say God is wicked. He will say God is not good. And there are two people. One developed a system that has a process that can sustain. And the other one does not develop a system. He's only praying for divine intervention. All the time praying for divine intervention. And at the point he will say God is not good. Because all the advantages that God gave him, he couldn't store them up. He couldn't take advantage of them for a long time. He couldn't turn one burning bush into a revival. He wants to be having burning bush every week. But Moses was able to turn one burning bush, just one burning bush. One burning bush. He turned into a revival. He was able to deliver a whole nation from one burning bush. Somebody like Gideon, he had several burning bushes. Angel will appear to him. This one will appear to him. That will appear to him. He will put out the fleece today. He will take out the fleece tomorrow. He had seven. Moses had one. Moses turned one into a revival. Gideon couldn't do the same. And that is the difference between a man of faith who has a process and a man of faith who has no process. I've spoken for a long time. You understand my class today? Can I see your hand? You already understand what I'm teaching. You understand what you have to do. Let me see your hand. You encourage me that I taught you well. Encourage me. Oh, thank you. I don't want to take this class again. This is clear class. So this is the class. As I close today, I'm encouraging you to build the process. Miracles happen, but sustainable and enduring grace must come with a process. You must have a process where when the miracle happens, just one miracle, bam, you can sustain four generations, five generations with one miracle. Instead of praying every day, Father, send help today, investor, tomorrow, investor. You can have one investor and then you turn it to blessing. And the blessing will last and last and last and last and last. That was what Esau did. Esau had one help. And he became great with it. Jacob had several opportunities and he didn't become as great as the hospital. Joseph had one famine and he turned one famine into generational blessing because he had the anointing and he also had wisdom. He said, let us save in the silo. Let us save. And then we will now be giving people and then we'll be buying land. Joseph had process. He had anointing and process. Those who have only anointing without process, they end up suffering. They will pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And God will give them and give them and give them. And they will never have process. And they will live their life At the end of the day, they would be like, God has been kind to me in the past, but now things are difficult. But those who have process, God will answer their prayer once. They will just take that prayer, answered prayer, they will roll with it. And they will become blessings, generational blessings from one answered prayer. It is time to give our offering today. And the offering we are giving today is simple. For those of us who are here who have process, but you need the anointing, you need the spark that, Lord, I have my plans to prosper are here, but I just need this one time divine intervention. That once you show me help, I have the means to take one ring for and save it and turn it into blessing for generations. And those who have anointing but they have no process, and I say, God, I know that I'm anointed, but I need a process. I want you to show me a plan. Those are the people that I'll discuss today that I would like to show and give to the blessings of the Lord. That's what I thought.
But
That's what I've thought. You are here. You need that anointing, that spark. That you have heard my words and you're like, okay, I get it, I'm living that. But I need this help. Once the help comes once, I'm fine. I can sustain it. It can become an enduring grace for me. Those are the ones that are given now. And those that they already have the process, they have a plan. They have a plan. But the one they are anointing, they are saying, Lord, I have a plan, a sustainable plan for my business, a sustainable plan for how to raise my life. I have a plan on how I want to do my home, my marriage, but where is the man? I have a good plan, but where is the wife? Where is the husband? Where is the person that I will do it with? I just need the person to come in. Everything is set. Everything I need for life and godliness is set. I just need somebody to spend that time with. I just need the anointing to bring me that solution. Because both of them are important. You need the anointing, you need the process. Some people have the anointing, they don't have the process. Some people have the process, they don't have the anointing. But in this meeting today, I'm declaring it. You are the partakers of this blessing, of this offering. This offering goes to the Lord, and it is speaking to your heart. It's speaking to your heart. It's speaking to your needs. Is speaking to your issues. And this anointing, this offering is saying, this is where I am. And this is where I need your help. This is where I need your intervention. And the intervention will come. The Bible says, those who give to the poor, give to the Lord. I'm always very careful. In the month of September, I am always very careful personally because I see the way answers come to prayers and the way we solve issues in this season. Talk to the Lord as you give. The General Assembly can give now. I declare that you are blessed. I declare that the hand of the Lord is upon you. I declare that you receive the anointing to break out, to break through, to run and not be weary, to overcome without stress. I declare that you have the power over the process and that all things yield results for you by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the time we'll talk again, in next quarter, the process and the grace that you have received are sustaining you for life. Thank you, Father, for your word this year and amen. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the blessing of the Lord shout glory.
Glory. We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.